Don't have to ask me twice. I'll definitely do a show. Coming up on TMS. Hide from me, no matter what occurs.
Do not put a leash on people.
Poor Chip.
I vote no to giant spiderwebs.
I also vote no. How much to shut it all down?
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The Whopper tastes better than Big Mac.
Yes, it's true. In a national taste test, 3 out of 4 chose the Burger King Whopper over the Big Mac. We bet you like
Whopper too.
We do it like you do it at Burger King.
Wahahahaha!
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's Thursday, September 20th, 2018. Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett, bringing it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. We are. Yeah, that's right.
That's true, right? It's true. We're not making this up.
On a Thursday. And it's no longer Talk Like a Pirate Day, so stop it.
Listen, we didn't even do it yesterday at all.
Yeah, we really didn't. No. You know, it's funny. We did trivia last night, and we changed our team. So there are 8 rounds, and we did a different team name every round, and every round was, what's a pirate's favorite blank? And apparently, we really irritated the quizmaster. He does not like Talk Like a Pirate Day and does not like dad jokes. And, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever, man. Stick it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Find that guy in the crowd and go, yo, guys, look at me. I got a wooden leg and a parrot on my shoulder. I'm a pirate. Then piss him off.
I give that guy a lot of crap, but he's actually a really good quizmaster. And I think he might even listen to the show now because I've... He was into podcasting, doing podcasts himself, and I talked to him about this show early on, so who knows? He might be listening.
He left a voicemail last night and said this. He's a different guy.
What is that from, anyway?
I don't know. I found some random link somewhere. I have no idea what that is. Hey, so here we are. We're doing it. We got a few things to get through here, folks. Every day I get questions about how's the puppy doing. Well, the puppy's doing fine.
The puppy doing, Scott?
Well, we got a new phase we're in. We're in a new phase. It's called Hide from Scott No Matter What the Cost. I don't know what that's about, but as soon as I walk into the room, I go, come here, Boomer. Like, nice voice, kneeling down, being all, you know, come here, it's all good. Runs from me. Nobody else.
Really?
Me. I don't know why.
You're so intimidating.
I haven't
You're
done anything.
You're such a monster.
I guess
You're a threat.
So. Carter says, well, you forget that's how Rainer was, too. And I said, I don't think she was that way with me. She may have been that with other people, but I've never had a dog, like, not want to. Like, even if I got a treat in my hand, she runs off. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Yeah. It's just a phase.
She's a puppy. It's a phase.
You think that'll pass? That'll pass, too, you're thinking?
Oh, I'm sure. This, too, shall pass. I think it's just a matter of you're the most dominant creature in the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kim really is, but yes, sure. Well,
Kim really is, let's all face it. Let's face it. Kim rules the roost, but...
She's alpha dog.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine it's something that just takes some getting used to, maybe. I mean, you know, but she didn't start doing it until recently?
A couple days ago, yeah. Just started, if I came in the room, go hide somewhere.
And it wasn't, you didn't, like, give her a yelling at because she peed on the carpet or...
None of that. No scolding. The only thing I've done in the last few days that may have upset her is I had made her walk for the first time, took her on a walk. And she did fine. Mm-hmm. But maybe she didn't really like it and now sees me as the thing that comes to get her to take her to walk again. I don't know.
My goodness. What dog doesn't like going for a walk?
I agree.
For Daisy, that's crack. I mean, basically, you pick up the leash, and she is bouncing like the floor is on fire.
That's what Rainer does. She loses her mind. She can't wait to go on a walk. I take her every day. And so I thought, well, we'll have the same experience here. But maybe, I don't know, she didn't like the heights. Like, we got up on a bridge, and Rainer just trots through the bridge, no big deal. But the puppy kind of seemed to be super apprehensive about it being so high up and would, like, get away from the edges and go real slow and that sort of thing. So maybe that freaked her out. I don't know. Freaking Boomer, dude. You're a mystery wrapped in a riddle. What are you going to do? Hey, so Brian and I, in the mail, received something awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
A huge box full of, I don't know how many teas. Did we count these? 1, 2, 3, 4,
there
five,
were
six,
20,
seven,
I think, in my box, or 18.
10, 11, 12, 13. 13 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it includes everything. See if some of these names sound familiar to you people at home. Doomhammer. Harvest Moon. Interesting. Iron Forge, yeah, that's very World of Warcrafty. How about the Kaldorai Special?
The War Chief.
Yeah, the War Chief. Anyway, there obviously we've got a bit of a nerd on our hands, but this is a good friend of the show, Gwendolyn Gunn. And what I like about her email or her letter, this isn't an email, it's a paper letter that we received, is not only is it 2 pages of written text. But then there's this big bunch of stuff about the tea, giving us very distinct information about each tea, how it was extracted, where it comes from, why it's good, blah, blah, blah. She owns a little tea shop in a Montana town. You can learn more about this at phoenixpearltea.com. They ship, too. They do ship, and we want to make sure to mention that. And there's a whole bunch of times during this letter where she's like, no, you guys don't have to do it, but if you want to mention it, of course we're going to mention it on the show. Of course we're going to. I want to go there, let alone freaking mention it. I want to visit this town because it looks awesome.
It does. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's, you know, Red Lodge, Montana, you know.
Pretty great.
They do a game night every Thursday from 5 to 9. Tea tastings on Saturdays at 2 p.m. during the winter. I mean, again, phoenixpearltea.com.
Go check it out.
Yeah, their website's great.
Another nice thing is throughout here, by the way, she says, I've been listening to TMS since the beginning, since Charlie Sheen and Scooters. Wow. I was there for Mendoza, for Thick and Liquid, for Poop Bag Lady, for Brian having to take off his headphones and go throw up. I've tried to get up the gumption to send you guys some tea to taste for years. I've only called in once. But I've thought about it numerous times. Anyway, TMS has got me through some tough times, and I thank you profusely for your help. It's kept me sane. Seriously, thank you so much. And that's just a taste of the nicest letter ever.
Apparently, two of the nicest letters, because again, I got the same. I got the same 2 pages front and back, and it sounds like we got. You know, I was thinking, all right, well, she'll take the same letter, put a different name at the top, dear Brian, dear Scott, and then blah, 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 right? No, I mean, it sounds like we got different things.
Different letters, different you know, stuff mentioned here. And the main theme is that apparently this show and Frog Panty stuff, generally speaking, Brian's Coverville, all of these things have played a huge role. What's a frog panty raid, do you figure? How do you work a panty raid out?
That's really what we should be, instead of FERT, we should be calling it the frog panty raid.
Oh, I like that. The frog panty raid. What's wrong with everybody? Or I'll do it. I'm doing one. I'm making my own raid. It's called the frog panty raid. You guys
all join. The frog panty raid. Excellent. That should be tomorrow's World of Warcraft stream is the frog panty raid.
I like it a lot. So anyway, this letter, my wife sat down and read it and started crying. I'm like, what's the matter with you? And she goes, well, this is the sweetest letter we've ever gotten. And it really is. So huge thanks to Miss Gunn. Yes. And thank you for all the teas. I whipped one up just now. It is the Black Orchid Aztec Vanilla Black. Because I'm kind of adverse to black teas, not really a fan. So I thought, well, let's see if this is good.
Yes.
Because according to her, it says the best vanilla black tea I've ever found. I've tried at least 30. It uses real Mexican vanilla bean with smooth Chinese black. If you want to make a latte out of this, like the house masala chai, it'll come out friggin' great. Anyway, it's awesome. I've been sipping at it. It's right here next to me. One thing I wanted to mention, she also packed in. I assume Brian got one of these. I don't know.
Yes, that is like the greatest tea infuser ever. It's the most
love brilliant
design of the thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you fill it up with you got all your herbal hoo-ha in there, right? You put your hot water in, and then you just, and then it's just like a little thing, and then you put it on top of your, I mean, a lot of people are hearing me say this going, duh, Scott, it's been around forever, but I've never seen one.
I've never seen one of these either. Yeah. So you put your tea, your hot water in there, let it steep, and then you just put that device on top of your glass. And there's a little pressure plate on the bottom that goes up and acts like a valve and dumps the tea into the glass.
Into the thing, exactly. And it's flawlessly just like, burp, does it, take it off, no dripping, put it away. It's so cool. Yeah. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to send us this, but it's super sweet that you did.
No, she sent one of the ones you got is a pumpkin herbal masala called Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
That thing is fantastic.
Oh, have you had that?
I think that so far is my favorite. And that requires you doing hot water and hot milk and mixing them and steeping the tea in both. And worth it. Time it takes to do that.
I'm down with that. If this tea shop was like in vicinity of me, I'd go to it every day and just sit down and have a chat and enjoy myself. This may sound like a giant paid endorsement or something. That's not what this is. We're just really impressed. I'm super impressed with the packaging, with the labeling. I've seen pictures of the inside of the store and what that whole place looks like, that town looks like. It just seems like the coolest dream come true. Mm-hmm. And I'm just blown away by the thoughtfulness. It was really kind of her to send us all this. So thank you so much. And again, you guys head on over to, where is it? I don't want to lose it. I don't want to say it wrong. PhoenixPearlTea.com.
Yep.
Phoenix Pearl.
And if you're a WoW player, you'll love the names of the teas that you find there.
Yeah. There's some really good, inside of all this, like, very nice stuff about how our shows make a difference in people's lives, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here that's just great tea information. Like, don't overcook this. Make sure this thing's over in that thing. Make sure the temperature is exactly this or else you're going to blah, blah, blah. Like, stuff I don't think about. This is great. So thank you. That was awesome. Totally appreciate it. And we'll certainly talk about these in the future as we try additional teas and make our recommendations.
For sure.
It's tea time. All right. Well, that's all I got.
No, you had, did you have something else? I guess not.
I have to go to the dentist this morning. You want to hear about this fun deal that happened to me?
Yes. So what, I have to go at the beginning of October, so lay it on me, brother.
Are you just getting a cleaning? Is this your normal cleaning or what's your deal?
No. I've got a spot on one of my teeth that they're a little worried about. It's really weird. You'll notice that I have a missing tooth right here.
Yeah.
That was from a tooth that just did not fully densify, did not fully, become a full-on dense hard tooth. And they didn't figure this out until about maybe 15 years ago. And the dentist, they're like looking at x-rays and like, wow, this tooth is, it's really weird. It just didn't, it never really solidified in the center or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they took it out. Well, I've got another tooth that this dentist is now figuring out. That's like, all right, well, there's just a spot on it that has that same issue. It could potentially, actually, it'll really easily turn into a cavity, he says. And, so I'm getting a drill and fill without even having a cavity. It's just a soft spot.
Oh, man. So, because he's just worried about it. He doesn't want that to get worse.
Exactly.
Oh, dude. See, that's weird. this is what they told Nick when he had his baby teeth that we had to grind out because they were all soft and mushy and never solidified or never got full enamel or whatever. But that was just his baby teeth. His normal teeth came in okay. It makes sense that somebody out there, mm-hmm. Brian Ibbett in this case, has you get weird teeth. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
You're missing a tooth. I'm missing a tooth. Mine's gone for different reasons, but I got one in the back that's not there. No one ever noticed it because it's in the rear, but it's out of there. The one, okay, so here's what happened. I've had a crown for like 11 years back here, and no problems. Everything's good. Doing my duty, whatever. Nick comes home with these amazing, I forgot what they're called, but it's this bread that's like triple baked with like garlic on them, and they're kind of hard, but they're just amazing. So good. I forgot what they're called.
But they're bread?
Yeah, they're bread. But they're
like super hard, crusty outside bread then?
Yes, they're meant to be not so hard that you can't eat them, but crouton hard is how they are.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, I'm remembering the great Beaver Nugget fiasco of 2010 or whenever it was. But
right, Beaver Nugget fiasco notwithstanding. That's Beaver Nugget's the one that broke the tooth next to it, and that one is now a crown, but it's but that crown's holding up. We're good there. So anyway, brings us home, and this is a while ago, and I was chewing it and eating it, and I came down hard on, I don't know what it was, may have been a seed or something. And I could tell I came down too hard on something. I just was like, oh, that kind of weirdly hurt. What was that about? Strange. Okay, I won't think about it. Nothing fell out. Looked at my mouth. It's all good. Tooth just sitting there thinking everything's fine. But it's a little sensitive and a little just, it's, I don't know, it's not right. But it's still, as far as I can tell, looks fine. Three days in or so, I'm eating a gummy bear. and the gummy bear comes out with a wedge of tooth. So apparently what I'd done is I had cracked it or broken it, and it still sat there in space.
It stayed in there, and you didn't even realize it. Like, you kind of sensed that something...
Yeah, like something was wrong. Oh. So, like, a little wedge of tooth was, like, sitting in its place, but hadn't quite come out of its little puzzle space. And this gummy bear pulled out that piece.
The gummy bear helped it on its way, like, freed it from the shackles that were keeping it in your mouth.
And it's like a little slice of pie. If you looked at my teeth, it looks like a little, like, someone went in and went... and pulled out a piece of pie.
Really?
So it's just a corner of the tooth. It's right, kind of a pressure point of the high back end of this crown. Well, yeah. It never hurt really. First day, maybe a little sensitive to hot or cold, but after that, I mean, no big deal. It's mostly cement back there, so I'm not that worried about it, or haven't been. But then I noticed yesterday, I feel like I can feel a crack in the middle of it. And I'm like, all right, I can't have this thing blow up into a nightmare. I got to go get this looked at.
Right.
Oh, God. Because I'm going to Ohio in a week. I don't want to be in Ohio and go, oh, no, freaking, you know, you don't want to have
emergency
that.
Find me an emergency dentist that I've never met before. That yeah.
Oh, right. That sounds so bad. Just thinking about that sounds so bad. So yeah. So I finally knuckled down, called the dentist, made an appointment. Today, right after the show, we have to keep Wendy like as on time as possible, because right after the show, I have to head straight to the dentist, and I'm sure they're just going to grind it off and put a new one on there. The problem is it's going to hurt. It's really slow to numb back there. Doesn't ever really truly numb for me in the back.
So oh, God, really?
Yeah, it just doesn't. He can go like triple dose.
Oh, that would already fills me with dread.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know.
I know. Dentist stuff, dude. It sucks. No wonder they have a high suicide rate.
I don't think there's a scarier phrase to me than Novocaine doesn't work. Right?
Like, well, there's a whole generation of dudes, like my dad's generation. I know him and multiple people that were in his age range that go to the dentist and don't have any painkillers. I don't know what's going on with those guys.
Bite down on this leather strap. We're going to work on your teeth.
It really is like some old Wild West kind of way of doing teeth. John, the dude my mom's married to now, he's 80-something. Yeah. He still won't get Novocaine. So he goes in for a thing. It's like, I'm getting a root canal. I'll just take it. He just takes it.
Is it because he just doesn't want... to look like a sissy, or like he doesn't want
I don't know,
like he doesn't want the extra cost of the Novocaine, or
I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't want to look like a sissy in front of that hygienist.
And my dad never explained it either. They just didn't do it. And for me, I'm like, I'd almost prefer they just, you know, put me out for 2 days and don't even tell me what you did. I don't want to know. So I'm a giant puss, I guess. But anyway, it'll take him like 3 shots. It still won't be totally numb. They'll be annoyed because they have to keep checking me and it's not numb enough yet. And he'll start grinding and it'll hurt and I'll have to go hand up. And he'll go, okay, we'll give it another minute. Like, this is how this is going to go today. And then when they're finally done, they'll mill out a new tooth. They'll put it in and then he'll say, all right, well, there you go. And I'll pay $1,000 for a thing I hadn't planned on.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I wonder if I could cancel my appointment at the beginning of October. Is it too late? Can I just say,
don't worry. Usually only need, 24 hours? You'd be all right. Just tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I got a thing. It came up. When do you want to reschedule? Oh, I don't know yet. I guess I'll call you. All right. Bye.
Yeah. Let me, I'll call you when I'm ready. How's that?
Oh, yeah. It sucks. It says here, Squishy Twitchy works in a dental office, says, we don't use Novocaine in our office. Well, what do you use? What do you got there? I know there's some new laser things but that's only for, I'll bet you might get, Brian, you might actually get the laser thing, which is new.
It could be, yeah, because it's an easy tooth to get to, first of all, and it's not a cavity yet.
If it's the laser procedure, they don't numb you for that. It's super fast and painless. So it's very possible you're getting that.
I don't think so. No, I think he's even said, let's allow 45 minutes. We'll do 15 minutes just to get the Novocaine going in you, and then 30 minutes to do the work. So I think I'm getting Novocaine.
Okay. So not a cold laser, they call it. Squitchy Twitchy.
Yeah. Says. Cold laser is what, cold laser.
Squitchy Titchy.
It sounds like something Star Trek, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The cold laser. Yeah. Captain.
Bring him down to sick bay. We'll use cold laser on him. Beam this person directly to sick bay and get the cold laser ready.
For people yelling out laughing gas, I don't respond to it. I've had it before. It doesn't do anything to me. I just lay there going, I don't feel weird. Am I supposed to feel weird? Like, I don't like it because it doesn't feel like anything to me.
and I'm not 100% sure. Laughing gas is one of those things I don't understand, and I'm not going to like say, "Well, Scott, I don't know." Doesn't laughing gas doesn't numb you?
No,
it just makes
this chills you out. It's just like
just chills you out,
Valium,
right?
Or something, yeah.
Like sedate.
Yeah, so it's a slight sedation. Okay. They use it for kids a lot. My kids completely react to it. They just get like all high and whacked out. And I remember when I was a kid, it would get me as well. But now, it's just not happening. And they're going to numb me so much that by the time I leave there, it'll still hurt because that nerve never seems to actually get numbed. But he'll have added so much Novocaine to my face that I'll be like, who was the elephant man? I can't remember.
Merrick?
Merrick. John Merrick. I'll just be like, and I won't be able to talk. It's a good thing I don't have any other shows today because I'd be completely screwed.
I am not an animal. I am a human being with a cavity.
Completely stressed about it. So, whatever.
Jekyll Up Ashley says, oh, I don't even know if I want to read this
loud. What is it? Do it.
She says, to you, I have exactly the same issue. They have to give me a Novocaine shot under my tongue.
Hold on. How are they doing that? How can you put it
by
under your tongue?
Up your tongue and...
Oh, that is how do you not just have everything numb up and you can't breathe or swallow ever again or something?
Well, it's like instead of doing the gum line from the outside, I guess they go into the...
Oh. Oh. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah, we need to... Yeah. Maybe you and I both need to call now with Wendy today, like...
Oh. The roof of your mouth? Who does that? I never have trouble with the top. It's always the bottom I can't get numb. The top is no problem. He almost could just breathe Novocaine on me and I'd go, oh, okay, I'm good. And then you just do it. I numb really easy on top. On the bottom, all my nerves are like, F you! They're little bastards. Man. Hate my nerves. All right. Well, anyway.
You've got nerves.
Novocaine under the tongue. I can't think about that anymore. Let's move on to the news where we can think about something else.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, 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 it's the news brought to you by...
The WoW Stream Team is tomorrow. The WoW Stream Team. And Scott and crew are taking on more old deer for your enjoyment. Catch it at 12 noon Mountain Time at frogpants.tv.
This is all true, assuming I have a face left after today. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Aww.
It'll be fine. He's a good dentist. I like him. He's always, you know, I always ask for him. I've had him for 15 years or something. I trust him. He's always got new tech. He's cool.
Yeah, he's the one. Oh God, you've talked about him on the show before. One of his assistants or hygienists listens to the show. Is that right?
Oh yeah, they did. I don't know if she still works there, but she did. There was somebody. Mm-hmm. She may still be there. I think it was one of their hygienists, and she listened to the show. And didn't know what it was about at first and was like, mm-hmm. What's this podcasting thing about? And apparently now is like a full-on fan. So if you're listening, I forgot your name. I hope next time I'm in there, you don't stab me and hurt me.
Great. Yeah. That, well said. Yeah,
yeah, I think I covered everything right there, didn't I? Yeah. I did. All right. Hey, we got a story here about a husband. We're both one of those, so this could be good for us.
We could relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
The husband part, anyway.
Just the husband part. Husband was arrested for walking a wife with dementia on a dog leash at a fair. Doesn't seem like the thing he ought to be doing.
I mean, no.
Look, I understand that dementia means that they're harder to manage, that they become kind of like a toddler, and you do have to sort of keep a better eye on them, and you kind of have to manage them better, and you don't want to just be house-ridden for the rest of your life. Like, all of that stuff, I totally... understand, but there's something about a leash, and I see people put their kids on leashes all the time and nobody seems to care about that, so maybe this shouldn't matter.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm kind of... I think that's...
if it's okay for your kids, why is it not okay for an old person?
It feels so insulting. I mean, I know dementia, if that's the only way that you can keep your wife from hurting herself. Now, I can't even justify that. I think that just sounds so cruel and condescending, but yeah.
Well, I mean, if she doesn't
hold her hand and walk, walk with her down the fairgrounds. I mean,
yeah, I mean, if I had somebody with dementia in my life, maybe I'd feel differently. But right now, it feels a little insulting. But if I guess I can't. I don't know until I've walked in this guy's boots.
Oh, have you looked at the picture of this guy?
No, he's 66.
Right, go to that website and then. Oh, good Lord.
All right, let's take a look here. What do we got?
I'm putting a link.
Oh,
in the
my
chat
gosh, room. Dude, he is not happy.
Yeah.
He's not
Something
happy.
Tells me he probably had the leash on her before.
I'm trying to give him a benefit of the doubt, but I'm not sure I can anymore. Anyway, a man was arrested in Pennsylvania. That's where the American vampires live. For using a dog leash to walk his wife, who has late stage dementia, according to police. Walter William Walford Sr., the WWW there. W3. I don't know. Whatever. He's age 66. He's the World Wide Web of Hagerstown. Well, that's an appropriate name of a town, right? Mm-hmm. Was charged. Hagers? Is it Hagerstown?
I would pronounce it Hagerstown. Yeah.
Maybe it's Hagarstown. No, Hagers. Anyway, was charged with one count of simple assault. Simple assault. It's interesting.
Well, because. If you read on, it looks like he yanked the leash.
Oh, like you do with a dog if he's being rude or whatever.
Right.
I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying I could see him doing this the way you would with a dog or something.
Yeah.
A witness told police he saw him leading his wife, Catherine, around the fairgrounds with a red nylon dog leash about 8 feet long. At one point, Walford was spotted yanking the leash, causing his wife's head to move backwards and for her to sustain red marks around her throat area. Well, yeah, it's a leash. This is what happens. Responding cops noted Catherine's condition as she was being treated by medical personnel at the fair. She was very disoriented, did not know where she was, her own name, and spoke in gibberish, says the township police. Walford told police he took his wife to the fair last year without a leash, but she wanted her away from him, prompting him to have the idea to restrain her. Walter told me that he originally placed the leash around her waist, but somehow it had moved up around her neck. How big is this leash? How big is the collar? If it was around her waist.
Well, how did it get around her arms? Like, how did it go? It was around her waist and then somehow moved up around her neck?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't think you know how the body works, Walter.
Yeah. Says,
it just slipped from her waist up to around her neck. I don't know. I don't know how it happened.
He claims he gently tugged on the leash so she would stop. Why the fair? Okay, here's where my big disconnect is.
Yeah.
I get that you want to, it's like, well, let's go outside, honey. We're too cooped up and, you know, you need to get some fresh air. I get that. Why the fair? It's a crowded, stinky, elbow-to-elbow mess. Why would you take your chronically ill, late-stage dementia wife to the fair?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something that they used to do together, something that, they enjoyed together, you know. I mean,
but she doesn't even know where she's at.
He looks like he just loves the fair. I'm sure many people at the carnival paid to see this guy.
come see the grumpy man.
Come see grumpy man. A dollar gets you to look at the grumpy man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That part doesn't surprise me. I would just think, you know. Hold her hand, guide her like a human being down the fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Or go to the mall. Just go to the mall. Yeah. She doesn't know she's there. She doesn't know where she is.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the mall's fine too, but still, I mean.
The mall's a place you can sit and there are.
You may feel like, if he feels like that's the only way that he can control her. The problem is that isn't just her feelings, but the fact that everybody that they walk by is going to look at him leading her around on a leash.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's weird, man. It's freaking weird.
Yeah. Wheelchair. Oh my gosh. Exactly. Icor. Why not a wheelchair? Jeez.
That's what they make those for. Would you have to strap her in though? So she wouldn't get up and run.
I don't know.
That's better than a leash, I think.
Yeah. Oh, by far. And you can, you know, if that is the worry, if she's going to hop out of there and run around, be a danger to herself, then you maybe have a seat belt and covered up with a nice blanket, a nice Afghan.
Yeah, an Afghan shawl. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
How
Not impressed with this guy at all.
No, Lesarge says, how fast can an old lady run? Jeez, Lesarge.
Well, from this guy,
yeah,
it's never fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the looks of this guy.
It does feel like this is one of those situations, because I don't have any direct experience with it, I feel like I can't judge too harshly, but it does seem a little wacky. You know, having her on a leash seems wacky. Hey, let's talk about Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado Connection.
There is a video floating around of Colorado's mascot shooting himself between the belt, or below the belt, rather, with a t-shirt cannon. And it's pretty funny. This is Chip the Buffalo.
Yeah.
You're familiar with Chip?
I think so. I think CSU. CU. Yeah, the CU Buffaloes, of course.
Okay.
For whatever. I never thought his name was... I guess Ralphie is the actual buffalo that runs around when there's a touchdown. They have an actual buffalo that will run around the field. But Chip the Buffalo, I always thought his name was Ralphie as well, the mascot.
No. So hold on, an actual buffalo gets to run around on the field?
Yeah.
Real live buffalo, wow.
A real live buffalo.
You guys, you might say...
They use the whole buffalo.
Use the whole buffalo, yeah. All right, well, let's take a look at this video. I'm going to play this here and... see what happens. Okay, so you got... Oh, jeez. That looked like it hurt.
Right into it? Okay, hold on.
It looks like it hurt. It jumps right into it. He goes, flunk, right into his groin. I don't think he's kidding. I think he's serious. I think that looks like it hurts.
I know. You know, they always play up like, you know, like they'll bunk themselves on the head with a baseball bat and they'll wander around dizzy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, that looks...
Looked like he really... nailed
he
it.
He just drops.
Yeah.
Drops like Maude Flanders.
Yeah. Oh, look at that, right in the freaking groin.
There. So it so it backfired, like it shot the t-shirt out of the wrong end or something?
He's got it aimed wrong, and maybe he thought he was being funny to start with, but it's I mean, it looks like he's trying to just do it legit, and the thing fires. I can't stop watching Eric turn that
poor
off.
Chip.
Yeah, poor Chip. Won't anyone think of Chip? Yeah. Do you guys have like you don't have like an actual state mascot though. It'd only be a school thing. Do you guys have one of those? We don't have one,
like
but
a state mascot? Yeah. Is the bumblebee your state mascot?
Well, it's like a symbol, right? They're not the bumblebee, it's a beehive.
The seagull?
It's a beehive. So it's like
the beehive, okay.
Beehive state. It's as busy as a beehive is what everyone says.
Sure.
Little worker bees flying
Colorado
around. Do you guys have
mascot.
One of those? Like it's the...
I feel like we should, but I'm not finding anything online. Because unfortunately, when I type in Colorado State mascot, I get Cam the Ram, who's the CSU mascot.
Right.
Colorado mascot, Ralphie the Buffalo. There he is right there, getting trotted around the field. If you want to see, just look for... here you go. I'll put a little link in the
symbols, emblems, here. And mascots. Apparently, it's a... It's not like you have to have a mascot, but there is a, you might have
a
symbol.
Is there a page that talks about?
Yeah. So for example, let's see, Colorado state symbols.
Okay.
Y'all got, let's see.
Yeah. So we have what? The lark bunting and the Columbine flower and.
Do you know what your song is?
Yes, it's something. The lyrics are where a man can walk a mile high.
Incorrect.
Colorado, where the wind goes sweeping down the plain.
You have two songs, it says. You have Where the Columbines Grow and Rocky Mountain High by John Denver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's that first one that has Where a Man Can Walk a Mile High.
Yeah, your tree is the Colorado Blue Spruce. Your grass is the Blue Grandma Grass.
Blue grandma grass?
Grass. Yeah, it's
grandma
hard to
grass?
Say. Grandma grass.
Blue grandma grass?
Yeah, ask Crazy Neighbor. He's probably got a whole pipe full of it.
It's an interesting strain, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy. your animal is the big Rocky Mountain Bighorn sheep.
There we go. There's our state animals.
There you go. So that's as close as you're probably going to get. Well, you get a bird.
I thought we had the lark bunting, no?
You do, for the bird. So you have a bird, you have an animal, and you have a fish. Would you like to know what your fish is?
Hold on. It's got to be the trout, the rainbow trout.
Close. Greenback cutthroat trout.
Okay.
Never heard of that.
Right, it was a trout.
And it says here your flag is the state flag.
Oh, good. Our wow. flag is the state. Our Colorado flag is the state flag.
That's wow. fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's see.
Three cheers for that website.
Utah.
is this a Wikipedia page?
No, it's some site called Reference Desk, 50 State Guide, ereferencedesk.com. I assume all this is real.
Okay. Sure.
We have a bird, the California gull. That's the one I told you about because it ate all those damn things. The astronomical symbol is the beehive cluster. And
you have an state astronomical symbol?
Mm-hmm. We do. That's what it says. Beehive cluster. And then our emblem is the beehive.
Yeah, okay.
Our firearm is the John M. Browning designed M1911 automatic pistol. We have a state gun. I didn't know that. We also have a trout. Bonneville cutthroat trout is ours.
Okay.
Flower seagull lily. Let's see. Folk dance is a square dance.
Wait, your flower is also a seagull lily?
Yeah, seagull lily. Not seagull. Okay. Seagull.
Oh, okay. That was the seagull.
No.
We love seagulls and bees. Find every animal that contains the word seagull or bee.
For some reason, you don't have one of these, but we do. It's a historic vegetable. Ours is the sugar beet. I don't think I've ever had a sugar beet. I don't even know what a sugar beet is. What is a sugar beet?
It's sugar comes from both the canes and also the beets.
Oh.
And sugar beets are popular here, especially in Brush, where my stepdad's school mascot was the beet farmer. Or not the beet farmer, but the beet digger.
Beet diggers. Oh, and we have beet diggers here, so that must be why.
Yeah.
Meaning that we have teams called the Beat Diggers as well.
Right, exactly. Yes, the Beat Diggers.
All right.
Yes.
Final one here
It'll be better. I wish it was the Beat Farmers, man. I love the Beat Farmers. The band, that is.
Our, let's see, where is it? Our song is Utah, This Is the Place. I have no idea what that is.
It sounds like something written by the tourism board.
Yeah, it does to me
Utah,
as well.
Utah,
this is the place.
Yeah. Can't you pick, you got a picture, Joe Esposito singing that one. Utah is the place you found.
Exactly. Our mineral is copper. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was a fun detour that we took there. Anyway, this guy hit himself in the nuts and it was funny. That's the story.
Right, poor Chip.
Yeah.
Instead of a buffalo, he's... He's now the piglet mascot. Hi, kids. How are you?
Colorado has the eighth most popular flag, SoCal Fab Lab. What does that mean?
How is it a most, like, who ranks the most popular flags in the U.S.?
I don't know. You just is there a list? I can just look at them and go, that one's
sixth
cool.
Sixth most popular flag. Who's, all right, I'm going to guess to the top five.
All right, do it. I'll see
if
I can
find
some.
States, right?
Yeah,
see if you can find the list. Number one has got to be, if we're talking states, number one has got to be the Don't Tread on Me, the California.
Well, according to the list I just found, Colorado's number one. With your cool-looking C with the yellow in that, that's actually a pretty cool flag.
Yeah, it is a pretty cool flag. I have a really cool... I guess the Don't Tread on Me was a Gadsden flag. Doesn't the... I guess it's just a bear.
Ours are
New Hampshire uses the New Hampshire uses the Gadsden flag, but California has the bear.
Ours could not be more boring.
Yeah, no, I've got a really cool t-shirt where the inner part of the C is the Millennium Falcon.
No
so
way.
It's like a Star Wars and Colorado shirt.
Okay, that's great.
It's awesome.
I freaking love that. That's
awesome. I wear it to every premiere. Every premiere, I wear it to Solo. Wear it to Solo.
Yeah, I'm looking here and I don't see. Oh, wow. Arizona's is cool. California's is pretty cool.
I just don't understand how you come up with a list of the most popular flags. Do they go to flag stores around the country and say, which one do you sell the most of? Because wouldn't it just be the local one?
Yeah, I don't know what. This is a really obtuse kind of thing. Maybe it's just websites saying, hey, here's what we think are the coolest. Like Wisconsin, or let's see, what's the worst they say? According to the list I found on Thrillist.com.
Mm-hmm. They still pops in Recline for posting that one.
Yeah. I Googled it. I didn't realize he did.
Oh, okay.
Hold on a second. My mouse just died. Where's my mouse? What is with my mouse lately? Hold on.
Well, poor Maryland, the least popular U.S. flag.
Yeah, there it is. Maryland. Because it's all dumb looking. It looks like four really flags. That's super dumb.
Like, exactly. It's like they had an argument over, we're going to go yellow-black. No, we're going to go red and white with crosses. Ah, we'll do them both.
They don't like Idaho's. They don't like New Jersey's. Where's Utah on this? Gotta be
so many of these are just the seal, the state seal with a colored background.
Yeah. Mississippi just won't get rid of the General Lee symbol thing. What's it called? Union. What's it called? I forget what it's called. What's it called?
The Jolly Rancher, the Gentleman Jim, the Jesus Von Jasper Jam. The Stars and Bars, is that what it's called? I guess I didn't know that was the name. That didn't sound right.
No, that's not Confederate battle flag. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, there we go. Right. Yeah,
the Jolly Rancher. Okay.
Yeah, looking at these, it's kind of. I'm not surprised Colorado has a popular state flag because, I mean, Arizona's is cool. I like the star with the stripes coming off of it.
Mm-hmm.
California Republic with the bear. Kind of, you know, if you put the R backwards, it totally would just be a Russian flag because you got the bear, you got a star, you got the words California Republic.
This thing is everything about these reviews are just rude to every state. They're not nice.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, F these guys. Screw you, Thrillist.
Alaska has the Big Dipper. Wyoming has a buffalo. So Colorado is fifth on the Thrillist list.
Yeah.
New Mexico. I like the New Mexico flag, too. I like that the symbol with the almost like the four hands reaching out in all four directions.
Yeah. Kind of like the Arizona one looks like propaganda, but I like it. It's cool.
South Carolina. Yeah, see, I don't understand why South Carolina's is number one on this list.
Oh, what's the matter, Brian? You don't like blank clip art randomly placed?
it is totally like...
That's what it is.
A picture of a tree and a moon.
Where's the tool in Photoshop that has shapes in it? I'm pretty sure they're vector.
It's just a random tree floating in blue space.
Freevectors.com, somebody went to there. Lame.
Yeah, and Alabama is an X. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Fibble. It's just a big, boring X.
Well, they're just.
I mean, New Mexico belongs on the top five, but you're really, come on, Colorado. That's great. It looks like it's a very cool Pac-Man almost.
Yeah,
a red like Pac-Man eating a big dot.
It's got really bold shapes and contrasts, and I think it's a good.
It does.
I think you can proudly say your flag is probably the best flag. So good job.
I think so.
Good job, Brian. You've done well.
You succeeded.
We've talked a lot about spiders lately. I got one more good one for you here.
Okay.
Giant spider web cloaks an entire hunk of land in Greece. Entire coast of this Grecian island covered in spider webs. A vast area of greenery has been covered by the web. Get it? Experts say it is a seasonal phenomenon caused by the Tatragantha spiders, I think is how that is said, which can build large nests for mating. An increase in the mosquito population is also thought to have contributed to the rise in the number of spiders. A professor of molecular biology and genetics at Demokritos University of Thrace. That's a great name.
That is. Of Thrace.
Of Thrace.
It's absolutely a... It's absolutely a Westeros town.
Oh,
right?
Big time. Yeah. We're going to Thrace before the king arrives.
that's right.
Says high temperatures.
Your forces in Thrace.
Sufficient humidity and food created the ideal conditions for the species to reproduce in large numbers. So chat room, I'm now going to show you this. They say that the spiders will have their party and then die. So this isn't expected to be a long-term phenomenon. But if you look at this photo, that's spider webs. Look at that, dude.
My goodness.
I would you don't want to go hang out on that beach, do you?
Nope.
Honey, bring a picnic. We're going down to Spiderweb Cove.
What do Tetragnatha spiders look like? Do I even want to Google search this?
Do I want to know? Oh, I would die. Just having to stand there, get a picture near there.
They're also known as long-jawed orb weavers.
Long-jawed. Orb weavers.
They're interesting. They look long and they almost look like
I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't like those front legs stretching out like that.
Yeah, with the big furry pipe cleaner looking joints.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, not interested. Right. I don't like anything called an orb weaver. Because orb sounds like a cool, but it sounds like a fat back end full of baby spiders, doesn't it? An orb. I mean, what's their deal?
Yeah, I can see that. Sure.
Why are they cool? Like, I don't want...
Because they make those cool traditional... Like, they make the spider webs that people think of when they think of spider webs. That all the lines radiate from the center, and then the perfectly, you know, spaced concentric lines going around it, and the dew hits it just right, and it's like, okay, that looks cool. And then they hang out all kind of bunched up in the middle of it and wait for a fly to land in there.
Scary, dude. By the way, it says here they can get up to 6 inches long, toe to toe. That's awful.
Huh?
6 inches too much.
That's too much. Yeah. Nope. Yep. Oh yeah. No thanks.
Not interested at all.
Yeah, but orb weavers are kind of. I mean, you know, you look at them and stuff. They are spiky and.
Yeah, they're scary looking.
Yeah, we don't get the kind. We get the. Looks like the ones we get are the angulate orb weavers, which are kind of. Orange, brown, bulbous, totally harmless to humans. They just hang out.
How do you feel about a spider in the house? Do you let it out or do you kill it?
No. If it makes it into the house, its days are numbered. Its okay. Hours are numbered.
All right. That's the
outside,
rule.
I'll leave them alone, you know, whatever. Totally fine. But you come in the house and sorry.
Yeah, I kind of went with you there. My wife is absolutely with you. In fact, if it's within 100 yards of the house, she's like, kill it. Get rid of it.
Crazy neighbor. This freaks us out every time we see it. Crazy neighbor finds a spider in her house. Mm-hmm. She picks it up with her hands and takes it outside.
Oh.
And I'm not talking about picks it up with her hands holding a cup or a napkin. No. Picks the spider up with her hands and takes it outside.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. Why? And we watch this thing and we're like... Our flesh just wants to crawl right off our bones.
Oh, gosh. Ugh. It doesn't even matter if it's like a Danny Longleg or something. I can't do it, dude.
Yeah, nope.
Just can't do spiders. Can't do it. Nope. I had a tarantula when I was young.
These are usually wolf spiders. Like, we have wolf spiders are probably our most prevalent spider over here. Mm-hmm. We don't get those really massive, like, those almost tarantula-looking wolf spiders. Pops in her closet. Does she kiss it goodbye too?
I can't think of what wolf spiders look like, but I think that's what we get too. Hold on. Wolf spider.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we get these.
Yeah.
I don't like these either. They're just evil looking. Look at his little beady eyes and his big nasty teeth. Look at this thing, you guys. This is a Western State spider right here. We get these all the time. Mm-hmm. Brian's right. Sometimes they're huge. This guy's hand right here, that's how big they can get. That's awful. I don't know why that person would hold that. Oh, I'd rather die. I'd rather freaking die.
Probably a crazy neighbor right there.
I can't
and they carry their babies on their back. Like, there's all these pictures of the back of one of these things covered with 1,000 little babies.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yes.
That seems...
It's in that same Google image search that you just pulled up.
Here's a close-up of his face, chat room. Look at that. Yeah, I know. I ruined your day. Ruined my day. Anyway, that'll go away with time. Final note here. A guy shut down the Phoenix airport.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
But he paid the $52 fine. Thinking they had to reassess how much that fine is. That seems too low.
Exactly. It really was just a parking thing, but he... Yeah, but it did this whole like chain of events that caused flights to get canceled or delayed. It was
they put everything on hold. So here's the deal: they had a whole lockdown, security lockdown of the airport, and the reason it happened was because of a parking goof. Neither the 29-year-old man who drove the rental car nor his 19-year-old female companion. Oh, I see a 10-year difference there. I see what you're doing there, Mr. 29. Have not been publicly identified. The man was issued a civil parking ticket for prohibited parking per sign or red curb. I carried a $52 fine. The fine is aside from the $75 towing fee he must also pay. So he also owes that. No other charges are being sought at this time, says the Phoenix police. They didn't offer too many details about the mayhem. Roughly 300 flights were delayed. Dozens were canceled. Travelers were stopped in their tracks in Phoenix, left waiting for their connections thousands of miles away.
Jeez.
They don't really get into what he did.
Right. I mean, he parked, from what I can tell, he parked at a quote unquote red curb, which is the, no, you cannot park here. Wasn't even his car. It was a rental car. And he parked at the red curb. Both of them went inside, I guess. And they deemed that that car was suspicious. Nobody claimed it. And they cleared the airport.
Yeah.
It also kind of says maybe they need a better method for checking cars or something.
Yeah. And they needed to maybe make it so that you don't shut down the entire airport for stuff like this. Yeah. Or I don't know, something that seems dumb. It seems now like some idiot kid can go do this and just screw up everyone's day.
Right.
Good,
exactly.
Good job, Phoenix. Well done. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. We're taking your calls. That's right. Your calls. Get your phones ready and write this number down. 801-471-0462. And you'll be able to call into the show live and ask Wendy a question. It could be of any nature or sort. So get on that. She'll be here shortly. Before that, though, music from Brian. Brian, what do you got there?
Yes, I've got music from Oslo, Norway. This is a band called Karma Fire. You can find out more of them by going to karmafireband.com. For those of you who are like, oh, enough with this pop music and acoustic and indie sound and stuff, I want some rock and roll. Well, I'm about to make your day. As a matter of fact, the name of the album is Make My Day, and the song we're going to play is the title track. We're going to make your day with Make My Day. Here's the band Karma Fire with Make My Day.
Here it is. We'll be right back.
Apart right now, it's building up to something. the creamy middle like she did when she was little. It's hard to hide the kid inside when you're crunching O-R-E-O.
I want my binky back.
The Morning Stream. I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
All right, we're back, everybody.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh.
having a little back stiffness today, but I think it's just because I'm stressed out about the dentist. It's what I do. My body gets tense.
A little stress. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a question before we pull Wendy in here, because I'm the chat room has got me wondering something myself. What was the name of the spider with the long spindly legs that you said? Even one of those I wouldn't be okay with picking up manually.
There Wendy knows it. Dandy long, or is it Daddy or Dandy?
That's the question that people are wondering in the chat room.
Wendy,
it's
what
do
you
Daddy long legs.
Is it Daddy?
Yeah.
And I said Dan, and I said Dandy.
You said a Dandy long legs.
Wendy, what do you say?
I say Daddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I just
that's
messed
its name.
Maybe I just maybe I just messed up. Did I really say Dandy?
Who's your Daddy long legs? Yeah.
All right.
You said Dandy long legs.
I don't know why I said that. Well, yeah. Wendy,
I picture her wearing a red and white striped vest and a straw hat. Hello, I'm a Dandy long legs.
Yes. So when we were kids, how were you with spiders? I don't remember if you were like cool with them or not when we were kids.
I'm cool enough with them.
Yeah.
They don't. I mean, I had a tarantula crawl over my leg at a concert once. I thought that was not a good moment. But
no.
Other than that, I think I'm good.
Wait, what a concert? Like an outdoor one, I assume?
Yeah, Red Butte Gardens. It was Josh Ritter. I will always remember because it was horrifying.
Wow.
Yeah, just came out of the forest. And apparently, one of the bouncers or concert people comes over with just like a little sandwich box, like a little clear thing, and just picks it up. He's like, "Oh, that's been happening all night." I'm like, "What?
What?
What?
Why Red Butte Gardens over there? That's weird. That's like downtown."
I don't know. I didn't even know we had tarantulas over there, but obviously.
Yeah, that's another thing that Utahns say a lot. Instead of saying tarantula, we'll say triantula sometimes.
Did I just say triantula?
I think you did at the beginning. You said triantula.
There are three of them, though. It's when there are three that they're a
triantula. Yeah, when one leg gets five legs get cut off.
Well, all right. We've learned a little something new about
Wendy's. Let me pick up Gertrude and put her back in her box. Sorry she disturbed you.
She's a dandy long leg.
Indeed. Wendy's here. She's in Minnesota, don't you know? And do you hear a lot of people with that accent?
Oh my gosh, not everyone has it.
Really?
You kind of think, you know, like when you go to the South,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of people without Southern accents. Like it's a lot of transplant plants and stuff. Everyone here has a Minnesota accent.
I kind of love that. Are you going to get one as a result?
I'm working on it. When I do it, Adam says I sound like I'm mocking the continent of Southeast Asia, and I sound like I'm trying to do Indian or something. You know, like he says, I sound ridiculous. Every time I do it, suddenly it's Scottish, or I can't do it at all, but I'm working on it.
All right.
Don't you know? I can do that part.
That's fantastic. You can have a hot plate or whatever they do there.
Hot dish.
And
it's called pop, not soda.
Oh.
Pop.
Yeah. Well, what do we say here? We say soda, I think. Don't we?
Yeah. What do you say in Colorado? Soda?
We say, it's funny because I overthink it now because I don't know what I naturally say to that. Give me you want a soda? Yeah, I think you say soda.
Yeah, that's how I hear it too. Yeah. I think I'm the same way. I also overthink it, but I have occasionally said pop, and Nick makes fun of me when I do. And I'm like, well, Nick, there are whole swaths of the country that say pop. In fact, there are even big chunks in the South that say Coke, even though it doesn't matter what they get.
They all say Coke. Yeah, especially Atlanta. It's nothing but Coke.
Coke represents every soft drink.
Totally.
Like a Coke? Yeah, sure. We have Sprite. We have root beer.
Is that how it works then? If you say, I'll have a Coke, then they just assume that you need a list of what's available?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yep.
Kind of wish that was
for Sprite Coke.
Wow. I'll bet Pepsi hates that. I bet they hate that.
Oh,
that's a thing.
Sure.
Yeah, they're probably like,
I don't
damn
think
it.
They're allowed in the greater
I don't think
Atlanta
exactly.
area.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Georgia is Coke.
Yeah.
Coke only. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone likes their Coke in Georgia, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's Wendy Dunford. She used to be Johnson. That's because she's my sister, and you should all know that. She's my sister, but she's also a professional therapy type person who comes on the show on Thursdays and helps people with their real problems. Now, here's the deal. Since we started doing phone calls, it occurred to Wendy, and it also sunk into me a little bit, that one of the things we just assume around here is that every tadpooler ever who would ever call is just nice and cool, and even if they've got a big problem, you know, we're going to try to help them out, and everyone goes home happy. We should probably have some kind of boilerplate disclaimer that, you know, if you call in, that, you know, it's a call-in thing. It's not the same as an office visit. It's an unpaid piece of advice. I don't know how to write one of those, though. So y'all know what I mean. You know what I mean. I want this to be retroactive. If any of you ever gets litigious down the road and goes, I'm going to blame my problems on Wendy that time, don't do that.
Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. So just know that going in, this is all just a loose goose kind of thing. But also, I can tell you from experience, people come away with, you know, having had real help in their lives. And that's what we're hoping to do here today on the show.
So here's the cover all. Don't do what I say.
There you go. No. There you go. Nailed it. Don't follow her advice at all.
And if you do and it works, tell a friend. If you do and it doesn't, sorry.
Indeed.
Something else.
Hey, do you have any tricks for dental stress, like being stressed about going to the dentist? Do you have any like little tips, dental anxiety tips, by the way?
Yeah. Well, you've had a few traumatic experiences, so there's a reason you have it.
Yeah.
The nerve cluster that you have specially designed.
Mm-hmm. That's where they're going to be poking today. I have to go in and get a crown fix, and it's right in that nerve cluster zone where they always poke that nerve ball.
So have you warned them that you have that? Do they know?
Oh, they know. They are aware.
Tell them about your nerve cluster.
Yeah, they're aware that they also know I numb terribly. I don't numb very well, and you know, all that. Like and these are dentists I know and trust and have gone to for, you know, a decade and a half. It's not like, it's like all this steps are in place. It's just, it doesn't matter. I'm still stressed about it. And right. I feel like my hands are kind of cold and tingly, you know? You know how you get that when you're a little nervous about something? That's how that's going. And then I feel like I'm just a little faint today. And there's no reason except I have to go to the dentist.
I think you definitely take a fidget cube.
Yeah.
And just, you know, focus on that while they're doing stuff to your teeth. Maybe that'll help.
Maybe.
Maybe just... Yeah,
I do that with
ask him to jiggle your cheek when they give you a shot.
He does that. He jiggles my cheek so that it go, you know, the needle can kind of find purchase, you know, so you go, and then it just sort of like sinks in or whatever. So it's good.
Really?
Okay. It does help. Yeah.
Yeah.
And psychologically it helps. So, yeah, you just have to deep breathe and not pass out. And yeah, it's too late. You're doing this like an hour before your appointment. So.
Yeah. So I got to lean in. I got to do like lean you always in. Say, lean in and go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what the best thing to do actually right before you're expecting the pain is relax yourself completely. And it's the opposite of what happens naturally, right? You tense everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you actually create more pain. So if there's any way right before they're about to give you a shot, like unclench your hands and feet and try every single possible way to just like let it go. And then when they shoot, it'll hurt less.
Mm. Okay.
That's not easy to do.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to try today, though. I'm definitely try that. Yeah. Like you just kind of, I mean, he's going to know I'm doing it, right? Because I'm going to go, okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, say, hold on, I'm going to tighten everything, then tighten all your muscles, and then like...
Let me clench and then unclench. Give me just a second here.
Yeah.
That thing used to always work with me where you do the... You focus on like a little ball of light in your foot, and then you kind of tense your foot up and then relax your foot, and then you kind of move up the leg, and then you kind of move up to the knee, and then up to the thigh, and then you start with the other leg and the other foot, and you kind of move up, and you just basically focus on each... body part coming to the center, or basically arriving at your head at the very end, and tensing and relaxing.
Yeah, I get to about the knee when I try that before I'm distracted and thinking about other things. I'm so bad at that. Terrible.
Yeah. And also, you could do, that's a really good idea, Brian, if you're not Scott, but also you could take, you know that, you remember when Matt got stung by a bee between his finger and his thumb in that little section there, and he took
clipped it out with nail clippers, toenail clippers. Yeah.
He's so such a wacko. Anyway, that spot right there, which is why I always think of it, because it would be so painful. When you get to the muscle where the two joints are meeting at the wrist, not mm-hmm. quite at the wrist, but that fatty, mm-hmm. sinewy thing, yeah. and you push on it and it hurts really bad.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're having other pain. So you're going to, so essentially, the brain just interprets what's happening as pain. And if you can have a couple signals happening at the same time, it's like jamming the system a little bit.
So oh, so you could have like signal confusion. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, so just like hurt your hand.
All right. Real quick here. There's somebody in the chat room who's at an airport and does not trust their connection to call in, but they do have a question. Okay. Let's rip through this one. It says, have we had a good discussion recently on imposter syndrome lately? I'm feeling a lot of it going on in my new job at a very successful ad agency, and I feel like my first day there, they will realize that I am a self-taught designer that knows nothing. I would call in, but I'm at an airport, and that would be weird. So, that's a good question, Jordan. We've talked about it before, but maybe not so much lately. Like, it mm-hmm. sounds like he's right in the fits of that. Like, you get a brand new job, it seems like it's going to be awesome. You don't really trust that you're as cool as everyone thinks you are because they hired you. Any tips for Jordan on his first day to sort of push that down and not be that guy?
I think you don't push it down. I think you just, maybe it's more of like a little bit of self-talk with embracing it. Because mm-hmm. what it means is that you're about, I mean, it's the story. The story is I'm not good enough. That's, or maybe everyone's going to see that I'm a fake, or they're going to see through this. And really what it is that you're doing something out of your comfort zone. And the same response that your brain has taken the idea that you probably shouldn't be there. That's the story it's grabbing onto. But if you just tune into your body. So Jordan, you're at the airport right now. I'm sure it smells weird. I hate airports. Anyway, I want you to tune into your body real quick. Where are you feeling all of this? Mm. Is it in your chest? Are you tense in your shoulders? Is your stomach churning? Like, where is it? And then I want you to think of all the other times you've felt that before. And it's going to be the same feeling you've had maybe before jumping off a cliff with your buddies into a big lake. And it was the first time. It was so fun. It's the best thing you ever did. Maybe it's the same feeling before you asked that girl out on a date you really liked and she said yes, or maybe she said no. But like it's excitement mixed with, I don't really know what I'm doing, sort of the novice thing there. Your brain has just told you a story and it's found all your sort of insecurities to add to the story. Like, I'm just a self-taught designer. All these people know what they're doing and their outfits match. And, you know, it's going to find whatever button you have that is an insecurity and push that and then make up the story. But really, this is new, challenging. You've never done it before. It's exciting. You belong there as much as anybody else does. How many self-taught designers are there? A lot. How many self-taught programmers are there? Most up into a certain. I mean, now they have programs and degrees and stuff. So those people can wave a piece of paper around and say, I am official, but they're still going to have the same feeling or experience. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like there's a story you have behind here that just challenge. And the key is to ground yourself in your body first. Like Scott's dentist thing. It's just a story that they're going to hit a nerve cluster because it just has happened before.
Yeah. It is that feeling. Isn't that weird though, that the same feelings of like the same physical manifestations that you might have for something that's a very positive but nervous experience, like asking someone to marry you or going to, you know, driving to that girl's house at 10:30 to leave the question to go to prom on the doorstep and then running away with your friends in the car. Like, it's exhilarating and exciting and all of that. But then if you really pay attention to the feelings you're having before you go to the dentist, before you get up and give a speech, before whatever it is, it's the same in a lot of cases. It's just, why are we interpreting it differently? Like, why can't we just say, oh, it's that same stuff. It's fine. Instead of going, heart attack this time, you know, instead of, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Part of it is our higher ordered brains that get in the way of sometimes simple things, for example. So physiologically, we only have so many sensations to have, right? So the nervous energy sensation can be applied to literally every circumstance that might make you nervous. And those are positive and negative. And then whatever happened after that first time you gave a speech, you can associate those feelings with, that I bombed that, or that was awesome. And so I think one of the challenges we have is as human beings is we want to feel safe and we want to be comfortable. We want to avoid pain. And so this is one of those little alarm bells that says, hey, this thing in front of you could go either way. Mm-hmm. Right. And the problem is what happens with imposter syndrome or any of these other things, we spend so much energy believing the story that our brain just told us about this nervous energy, that we then quadruple the energy that's nervous. We may self-sabotage to get out of the feeling. We may screw up because the nervous level gets too high because our story keeps feeding it, right? Versus the optimal thing is, and we know nervous energy, I'm calling it nervous energy, but you know, that body's response is crucial for optimal performance, right? So comfort, homeostasis, where we're sort of just sitting still, mm-hmm. that is a very safe, boring life. And you know, kind of, and different personalities, different strokes. So don't, you know, not every, someone can sit at home and be safe their whole life and be perfectly happy. Great. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a built-in system that gets us either to produce more, gets us to get out of situations that are not great for us, to better situations. It's our gift.
Self-preservation mechanism, basically.
Totally.
Yeah.
And a progress creator. Like, we're going to move forward in our life. And I've said this to people. We're training. Often we have trained kids in families and schools to run away from that feeling a little bit, or we protect them from it. So, you know, the old, when I was a kid, right? Like, nobody ever talked about, hey, if you're feeling nervous, here's what you can do about it. You know, mm-hmm. it was do or die and maybe got worse. I mean, like, there's just no one who had a clue and they just, like, you lived your life, right? Mm-hmm. And now I think maybe a better balance is being struck between, like, hey, there's a problem here and you can get help for that versus, hey, it's normal to feel that way and it's okay. And leaning towards it and doing something actually means you're going to get something out of it. Mm-hmm. So this avoidance of things that are hard, I think it's really tempting and we all get that. But it's always a sign of someplace you need to grow if it makes you a little bit nervous.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so jump off that cliff.
Yeah. That's the bit.
Into your job.
That's the bit. And last week you said, as part of advice to one of our callers, you said, your advice was your chief advice was lean into it. And I tried to do something this week because, you know, whatever, we all have our challenges and I got some stuff coming up that I'm nervous about. And I got this dumb dental thing, but that's small compared to what I got to do in a week and a half in Ohio. And I've never been there and I don't know anyone there. So I'm a little stressed about that and thinking about all the things I got to get done in the meantime. And I started just saying the words, lean into it, in my head. Like, I'd feel nervous, or I'd be thinking about the things that were, like, I can't control, and I start catastrophizing, like, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And I started to go, well, hold on, just lean. I would almost hear myself, although it's just in my head, I'd say, lean into it. And it helped me a lot. Here's my question, though. Yeah. It made for a much better Tuesday, or sorry, Monday, and a pretty good Tuesday. But by the time mid-Wednesday got around, I started feeling exhausted because I was spending so much time telling myself to lean into it. So mm-hmm. I guess my question is it possible to rely on that so much that you're creating no release valve anymore? It's hard to explain.
You're constantly pumping up those feelings to where they can never get resolved. You're basically just saying, man, don't think about that, lean into it.
Yeah.
And never actually resolving those
feelings. I mean, part of it's maybe a timing thing, because maybe what you're supposed to do is only start doing this a day or two before the hard uh-huh. thing happens.
Your nervousness Monday, Tuesday, if you didn't do the leaning in and you just stressed out and catastrophize, how worn out are you by Wednesday normally?
Not usually. Usually I'm a little more chipper, but yesterday I was so thrashed and I couldn't really point as to why. Except that it was just like I started feeling overwhelmed with the things that I keep telling myself to lean into that aren't actually here yet. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Like, I have to lean into this speaking engagement in Ohio, and I'm doing it and I'm ready to go, but I still have this time between now and then. That's always been my biggest problem in life, is not the thing. When it happens, it happens. It's all the lead up and all the time I think about it leading up to it.
Yeah. If you could basically just plot me, surprise me, plot me in front of an audience.
Oh, I'm done.
Totally fine with that.
Wouldn't that be great? Don't even tell me. Just
so if you tell me, oh, by the way, in 6 months you're going to be doing this, then that is 6 months of me going, oh,
yeah.
I'm prepared. Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah, when you should be saying, oh, I got 6 months to prepare. This is great. I got a lot of time to work. Right, it's not how exactly. my head won't work that way. And I admire people who can compartmentalize until they got to go, but I'm bad at it. So I guess I'm saying, what do you do?
So really quick, you leaning into it is not what exhausts you.
Right.
Let's just be clear. You're going to be tired either way, but maybe it's a little more exhausting because you got to remember everything we do for the most part has some secret benefit to us. We're secret to us half the time we don't realize. So worry has it's torture on one hand, but it also alleviates and the brain thinks, well, I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. Right. So it gives you the benefit of doing something and the relief that comes from doing something, even though you're not actually doing anything but worrying. So it's exhausting on one hand, but it's also rewarding on another. Mm-hmm. And leaning in, you've just taken away the reward for, hey, I'm going to panic about this, whatever that may be. And it may be different for different people for different reasons. And you're like, okay, no, I can do this. This is having a coach next to you going like, you got this, you got this, you can do this, you can do this. And then having the coach be like, I'm going to go take a pee break. And you're like, oh, but I'm left alone. What am I going to do? You know?
Yeah, so
you're not used to it. I would recommend. I mean, when's this Ohio thing?
It's next Friday. Well, I leave Friday, next Friday. So a week from tomorrow.
Next Friday. Yeah. So I don't know if this can work for people. Maybe not so much for you. But you have to like commit to your own self, which sometimes is hard to do. But you just give yourself the day before to worry. And what I mean is, anytime it sort of starts to creep into your mind, you get an elastic band, like a, mm-hmm. you know, remember newspapers used to come in those?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, rubber bands. One of those?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, that's the word.
A rubber band.
Mm-hmm. What did I just call it?
You called it
an elastic band.
We did that too. We call them elastic bands growing up too. It's a Utah thing.
Yeah. Okay. My underwear.
Rubber band, rubber or elastic band. And you put it on your wrist, and every time you become aware that you're worrying out of your schedule, then you flip it, and so you hurt your wrist a little bit.
Okay.
So when your arm's a big swollen mess in Ohio, mm-hmm. everyone will know why. But you have some way that sort of, that's for Thursday morning. And you put it on your schedule, and you put it, I'm going to do all my freaking out, catastrophizing Thursday at 10 a.m. Thursday comes, you have an alarm. And then go for it. Worry all you want. Stress all you want. And then, but the previous days, you just, you shovel it back to the, well, that's my appointment to stress. I'm just going to save it for that.
That's such a cool skill to have. I don't know how people, it feels like one of those, you're either born with that or you're not. Like Kim's good at that. She can mm-hmm. compartmentalize something right up until the last minute and then it's go time.
Right. And some people it comes more naturally for sure, but it absolutely is trainable. You just have to obey it. You have to do it once to real, and it takes effort. It's getting in shape effort. Like, okay, my brain wants to keep doing this. Shut up, do something else. Okay, Thursday, I'm going to worry about it. And the cool part is once you get to Thursday and you actively attempt to worry, you're going to be surprised at what happens. I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, there's I get a little surprise coming up.
Yeah, a little package of fun at the end. Right. And the thing is, nothing changes. Nothing has changed other than you've not spent those days doing that other thing. But there is an inherent reward why you've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's wrong with both of you. Ready, guys? Here it is.
Yeah. Ready. Go.
You worry for 6 months. You get up a speaking engagement. It goes well. Guess what just happened? Mm. You were just rewarded for worrying for 6 months.
Oh, I didn't think of it that way. It's like when the dog jumps up on the table and I give her a piece of food. I just rewarded her for doing the thing I don't want her to do.
Exactly. Mm. And so your worry, your brain not only gets the vibe of like, look at me doing stuff and look how helpful I am. I'm protecting you from lions. And then you get on stage, you rock it. And then you're like, all of that was necessary. When it's not. So you both say, oh, just ask me the day before and then I'll do it. You'd probably be fine then, but you don't have a lot of reward feedback happening from that.
Right. Yeah. So what you're saying is this changes the reward feedback from 6 months did it and I needed that to make this work to Thursday did it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then get rewarded for compartmentalizing. Because guess what Kim has and I have? I get rewarded for compartmentalizing all the time.
But how come you got this? Why'd you get this? Me and Mom are nervous bags of shite sometimes, and Wendy's walking around going, "I put it, here's a compartment over there, and I'll pack this one away, and that one's fine for another 2 years." I don't know how you do it.
It's really true. I don't know. It's not fair, but it's also like it's trainable because I've done this with many, many people, and sometimes they need to. Okay, so let's go back to the caller for just a second, because he's asking like, "How do I do this?" And we're saying, "Hey, lean into it," and actually this compartmentalizing thing can be really helpful. Like to find a buddy who's been in your shoes before, right? Mm-hmm. Find somebody you can talk to about this. And it's probably not somebody in the company. If the company, because some company cultures will create, like they foster the imposter syndrome. Like they love people with imposter syndrome. Why would they ever want to kill that? Because what they're going to do is get way more work out of somebody because he doesn't feel like he belongs and he's got to try extra hard. Mm-hmm. So they're never going to have like, we'll have a diversity training meeting. Okay, let's have a meeting on how to cure all of you from this thing that gives us extra manpower. They're not going to do it. Mm. You're way more effective if you can be insecure. I mean, that sounds weird. And I don't know if anyone's doing it on purpose, but,
well, but I've never
thought
of it that way.
In his own company, he's going to find. And designers, I would just assume you're an ad agency. There's a whole lot of like shiny, glossy paper going around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. I think Jordan said some other things in the chat room about how he's also a little, you know, generally a little bit of anxiety going on. His wife's pregnant right now, so that's adding to it. So there's, you know, there's a lot of other extra stuff going on. But I feel like he speaks a universal language for a whole lot of people. There are a lot of people who feel this way a lot. We've had certainly dealt with it in the past on this segment, but it really rings true for me. Especially right now. And the dental thing, I don't know how you ever get over that. That's just kind of like when that toothpiece,
you know, you get through on the other side, you've rewarded yourself for having anxiety about the dentist for the last
day. I know. And I'm paying him for it. Like it's the worst. And
what would be great is if your dentist is like, "Were you nervous all day today?" And you're like, "Yeah, just started punching you in the face."
Oh, that'd be great.
Well, give me something to worry about.
Yeah, here's something to worry about. Boom, boom, boom. You're not going to feel this at all. Needle. Ah.
Right. So let me say this to Jordan really quick. So find somebody to vent about this with, like, "Oh, it sucks." And talk openly about imposter syndrome. Maybe it's with your wife. Maybe it's with somebody else. And somebody who's going to relate to it, right? And you can be like, "Yeah, I know. It's the worst." Have a place to sort of de-stress from that a little bit. But then when you're in the place, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to guarantee on everything I know and am that everyone in that room has the same problem or some version of "I'm not good enough," or they wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only one who doesn't is the narcissistic boss. Why are they always the bosses? I don't know. But and at its core, that is pure insecurity. So if you know that whole like imagine everybody naked, literally. Imagine everyone with imposter syndrome and you won't be wrong. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got some version of this. You are not alone, though most people are not going to talk about it. So talk about it somewhere safe and then do your best to sort of challenge, take the nervous feeling and see it as energy. Mm. See it as motivation, as a good thing. Don't try to make a story about it. Stop the story if the story's like, "Well, yeah." Just try your best to sort of like, "All right, chill. I'm going to try a different story." And the story is, "I'm nervous because this is new." Mm-hmm. And it's new, which means I have a challenge ahead of me and I want challenges. I don't want to be bored at work, do I? No. Mm-hmm. Everyone should want to work with people that are better than them. It's just hard because that's really hard for us.
It is. Like I even right now hope the dentist is not narcissistic or I hope he's a little narcissistic. I want him to be a little self-assured. You know what I mean? Like
he's shot needles into millions of people's mouths. Like he's good.
Yeah, he'll be all right. I'm not too
He's
worried
fine.
About him.
Don't
he
worry
loves,
about him.
All he wants to do to talk to me about is like, he wants to talk about electronics, computers, and software every time I come
That's
in there.
That's awesome.
And it's great.
While your mouth is full of stuff.
While my mouth is full of stuff.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, yeah. No. Wait till you get the hygienist that has the opposite political views as you. And as she's saying, I just love Trump, don't you?
No. Oh, you like him as well. Great.
Me too. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. She thinks everyone agrees with her.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's totally.
That's a different thing.
Up their alley.
Yeah, that's right up their alley, if you want to call it an alley. All right, that is about the time we have today, sadly, because I have to go to the dumb dentist, and yeah. I have to be on time, because that's also a thing I get nervous about. So I'm going to go do that, and thank you, Jordan, for your question. Sorry that cut out any other calls that may have wanted to come in today, but don't worry, we'll have future episodes for sure, and a proper disclaimer probably come up in the future. Jordan, we wish you the best of luck. I know, I think he might be boarding, I'm not sure, but I hope that helps.
Good luck
today.
Jordan, you got this.
Yeah, you got Leave this. It. Today's the day to be nervous, but the rest of the year, chill out. Wendy Johnson Dunford. Let's see. Oh, Wendy Dunford
Social
on
security number. What else?
Yeah. What else do you need? You want all the background info? Let's dox Wendy live here on the show. Wendy Dunford on Instagram. TherapyThursdays.com. Taking your submissions, your questions, your thoughts. She'll do posts on some of that stuff, and of course appears here most Thursdays on TMS. Wendy, anything else before we go?
No. Go have fun at the dentist.
I'm not gonna. We'll talk to you later. Bye now.
All right, bye.
Fun bye. At the dentist. You know, they might give me a movie, though, because it's like an hour and a half procedure. So
they might, yeah. I mean, the dentist I have, you just bring in your own DVDs. They have to be DVDs, though. They don't have a Blu-ray player.
Oh. Cheap. He hooks us up. He's hooked up. He's got big Netflix screens with either Netflix or Apple TV movies they purchased. Mm-hmm. So they've downloaded a ton of like actual movies that you can just pick from and watch, or you can watch Netflix there, and they give you the little headset and you can just stare up while he does it. It's I find it kind of horrifying because there's no way I'm concentrating on Wreck-It Ralph while he's, you know, yeah, I can't do it.
Right.
I can't do it.
I don't know. I mean, I think that the problem with the one I have is that he didn't have speakers hooked up last time I tried doing this. They've got the last few times I've had a cleaning in there, they just have the screen way up against the ceiling and mm-hmm. they don't ever put anything on there for me to watch. Mm. So I usually focus. I find a point on that light that comes down over your face mm-hmm. and I find like a scratch or some little thing that I can focus on. And I just laser focused on that. I'm so to the point where like, she'll say, okay, I need you to turn your head just slightly. And I'll turn my head, but still kind of be staring at that thing.
Oh my gosh. That's a good idea. Yeah. I'm going
to
do it.
I wish, you know, I'd love it if my dentist would come to me and say, you know, how can I improve the technology in my office? And mm-hmm. I'd be like, all right, let's set you up with a couple Apple TVs and hook mm-hmm. them up to the screen, some HDMI cables, yeah. speakers mounted in the headrests, or bring your own headphones.
It would make your dentist happy, or your patients happy. They would be more dedicated to come to you again.
Right.
You gotta do that stuff.
The problem is that the reason I don't even take my earbuds, my AirPods in there, is because I figure they're going to say, no, you can't have your AirPods. We need to tell you to turn your head. We need to tell you when to do, you know.
Yeah, that we have these ear things that they give you, but you can hear mm-hmm. them over it. If they give, I think if you had something in ear, they might have a problem with that.
But. Yeah, buds are no good, but probably over ear, not the cups, but like the flat over ear ones are probably the way
that's go. Your way to go. Let's get out of here. Real quick, vote for show titles, frogpants.showbot.tv. TMS Mashups is the guy making our mashups. I was going to play one today, but we're out of time, so I'll do one of those tomorrow on PM. Sure. That will be tomorrow, by the way, at 3:30 Mountain Time, TMS PM episode of the show, so come on back for that. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else you're looking for. And big thanks for your support on Patreon.com/TMS. All right, Brian, you should play a song. What do you got there?
Yes, I have a song going out to William Carey. He says, 10 years ago, Christy married me and has made all my dreams come true, and I can't wait for 10 more years with her. Thank you for all the entertainment and laughter you've brought to us both over the years. But is it too early for a testing of the phasers?
Oh my gosh, he threw me there.
Yeah,
no.
You were looking for a fish sandwich.
Right? Let's test the ship's phasers.
There you go.
I just want the word phasers the way she says it isolated out.
So good.
Phasers.
Phasers.
Anyway, his requests were either Just What I Needed by The Insiders, which I played as a request before, so I skipped that one, and or What's New Pussycat by Five Iron Frenzy. Now, I did a little search with Five Iron Frenzy. They never covered What's New Pussycat, but they did cover It's Not Unusual. So I think it's just a matter of confusing the Tom Jones songs. Mm. Five Iron Frenzy does a great cover of It's Not Unusual. They included it on their album Proof That the Youth Are Revolting. From 2008, great album title. Here is Five Iron Frenzy in their cover of It's not unusual.
All right, everybody. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you tomorrow for PM. Bye now. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
It's sad, really.